Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled because today we have with us Kaylin Amadeo. Kaylin, the boomer gal, helps entrepreneurs over 50 who want to start a new business or own a business that they are ready to grow to a next level. She works with people who are struggling with technology and feel like digital dinosaurs by personally guiding them across the technology bridge into the 21st century. Her mission is to teach a million savvy boomer entrepreneurs how to succeed at building a thriving business and a vibrant life. Kaylin is an over 50 baby boomer who is an expert in digital marketing, including social media, blogging, video, and SEO. She is the creator and host of Act Local Marketing for Small Business podcast on iTunes and the author of the upcoming book, The Boomer's Ultimate Guide to Social Media Marketing, available this coming year, 2016, from Maven House Press. Kaylin, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
Tell us a little bit about how you came to this passion and purpose you have in life.
Well, I have to admit, I was a little late recognizing my purpose. Truth be told, it's still evolving, which is something I've learned to be proud of instead of worried about. Too many people worry about it, I think. I remember when my parents hit the age of 50, they started talking about retiring. And they were both retired, I'm going to guess, by the age of 55. Now, I'm approaching 52, and I can't imagine ever retiring. And not just because I think it's financially more difficult today than perhaps it was for my parents or my grandparents' generations, but because it really gives me a sense of purpose. I'm engaged every day in building a thriving business and a vibrant life because it brings me joy and freedom. Being an entrepreneur really means freedom to me. That's the number one word that I get from thinking about being an entrepreneur. It's the freedom to choose how to spend my time, where to spend my time, and who to spend my time with. And owning a thriving business gives me the freedom to pursue that vibrant life, and that all makes me very happy.
That makes such total sense. But, you know, there's some challenges with this. I mean, were you always an entrepreneur or was this a change for you? And if it was a change, what were some of the challenges that came up with making that decision?
Well, I'll tell you, I can look back over my life and know that I've always been a leader. I've been a mentor my entire life. I was always the first to take charge. I was constantly trying to find the best way to solve a problem, bending over backwards to teach other people what I know so they can use the knowledge to improve their lives. And you don't have to be an entrepreneur to have those qualities, of course. And many people have those same qualities, but I was the kid that went door to door in the neighborhood asking my neighbors if they had any chores they needed done so that I could earn some money. I set up the lemonade stand like so many kids do. I took babysitting jobs. I did chores for my parents to earn allowance. I was definitely self-motivated and always looking for a better, more efficient way to get something done. Yet I also, as an only child, I always did what I was told, and I believed my elders when they told me what was best for me. So I followed a traditional path, public school, went to college, went straight to work in the field that I'd chosen to study right out of college. I was a great employee, but I was never satisfied working for someone else. Every 2 or 3 years, having to do what someone else was telling me to do would, you can't see me, I'm sort of wiggling my shoulders. It would begin to chafe a bit, and I would look for new opportunities. And I was never able to work for someone else as a paid employee for more than, I'd say, maybe 3 to 4 years before I had the overwhelming need to escape into something new. And I always thought there was something a little wrong with me, right? I wasn't realizing at the time that I was ignoring my inner entrepreneur and my gut instincts in favor of what I had been taught was a logical path to go work for someone else and hold that job, and that's the way things were. Now, I recognize that I am an entrepreneur, and I'm most happy when I'm learning new things and helping other people solve their problems and improve their lives with the knowledge that I've gained.
Yeah, no question about it. I had a really strong entrepreneurial spirit at a really young age, too, and followed that. I just can't imagine working for someone. And also the ability to follow your passion to whatever level and degree you want, where there is nothing holding you back. You can do that as an entrepreneur, and it's a fabulous life. It really, really is a fabulous life, no question about it.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about, with your entrepreneurial spirit, how you're helping others with what you're doing.
Oh, my goodness. So that's a really big question. So I've done a lot of things in life, right? But currently in running my own business and being an entrepreneur, I am always looking for opportunities to help what I call my people, the baby boomers. I'm over 50. I'm a boomer too. When I went out and started this consulting business on my own, you end up hanging out with the people that you've always known. So they tended to be my age and often older than me. And I found that they were universally confused about what was going on online. And being a technology geek myself, I was loving it. And I was loving the changes that were happening from all of this cool stuff that was happening on the internet. And it made perfect sense to me. And they were, as I said, universally confused. And I found myself counseling them a lot in what their next steps were going to be so that they too could use all of these tools and understand them. And that's sort of how a consulting business was born, something that started as just me having fun outside of my day job, building websites and sort of learning about online marketing, turned into a consulting firm where I ended up helping all of my peers use these tools effectively.
That's fabulous. Really fabulous. One of my attorneys years ago told me that. He said, you can never go wrong if you take the hobby that you love, that you would do for free, and turn that into a business.
Yes,
and that's what you
I
did.
Agree. Right. I agree.
I love that. So tell us a little bit about what life looks like for you now that you have this wonderful entrepreneurial business and you're helping people with all of this technology that can be so confusing and is ever changing.
Well, I'll tell you, being a business owner, I studied with a business coach once that said starting your own business would be the best form of therapy that you've ever gone through. And it's absolutely true, because you end up having to confront all the challenges, not of just being a business owner, but challenges of life, some of the internal junk that you've built up over time, right? And one of my biggest challenges had always been my defining success. My definition of success was always tied to how much money I could make. And when I didn't make as much money as I thought I should, I would feel like a failure. So I would compare myself to others and think, I'm as smart as they are, or I'm smarter than they are. Why don't I have their level of success? So I would spend a little time wallowing in the poor me. And then I remember this very distinctly. It was such a profound moment to me. And this was during this time that I had decided to own my own business, which started in late 2007, early 2008. Now, one day, my husband and I were talking, and I was sharing one of the hundreds of new ideas I've had during our 24-year marriage, right? Entrepreneurs are full of great new ideas. That's one of the things we do. And he suddenly turned to me, and he's always been so patient listening to all my ideas. And he listens and he listens and he doesn't always comment. This particular day, he turned to me and he said, you have always underestimated yourself. And I was literally stunned, speechless for a moment. You can't get me speechless for long. And then suddenly, you know, I looked at him and I said, why didn't you tell me this sooner? Because he opened my eyes. I suddenly saw myself through his eyes, and I began to realize that my definition of success might need some tweaking. So at that point, I actually sat down and I wrote a list of every success that I could ever remember having, from winning a blue ribbon on field day or an essay contest in grammar school, right up to that present moment. Believe me when I tell you that the list ended up being much longer than I ever imagined it could be. And I'd have to guess that at least 90% of the things on that list, if not more, had absolutely nothing to do with making money, not a blasted thing with making money. And that's when I realized that my definition of success was absolutely wrong, and I gave myself permission to think differently. So when it comes to how this journey has impacted my life, I've learned that it's, like I said, my definition of success was wrong, and I've learned to sort of embrace more readily what success is and how wonderful my life is and how being an entrepreneur is allowing me to continue to pursue the things that really matter to me. And then the money just sort of comes along on its own. It's a very hard thing to sort of let go of and embrace at the same time, but it really does work, even though it's terribly frightening.
Yeah, I have found that to be the case too. There's no question about it. So what is your definition of success now? Because I'm so curious.
I should have like a ready answer when I tell that story, you know, my definition of success is. So my definition of success really revolves around life lessons, okay? Am I there for my family? Am I there for my children? Am I there for my husband? Do I have the ability and the time to let go of things that aren't important so that I can concentrate on the things that are important? Am I constantly trying to better myself as a human being? Am I opening my eyes and my heart and taking things in? Am I spending more time listening to my gut? I tend not to listen to my gut. I listen to my logic. I have an engineering degree, so I put a lot of stock in logic. But that doesn't always get you the right answer. So I now believe that as long as I can stand in any given day and experience the now of that day and realize that I've done good, and I've helped other people solve their problems, and I'm there when the people that really matter to me need me, how much more successful can a person be?
You know, that's wonderful. And you share that definition of success with one of the top leaders in the world, and that's Marshall Goldsmith. And I had an opportunity to meet him and spend some time with him at a really small event last year. And he talked about that, about the fact that every night he has this rigorous exercise where he goes through his day and asks those kind of questions. Was my relationship with my family constructive? Was I there for my kids? You know, because he travels so much speaking and consulting. And it's such a lovely way and such a fluid way to have a definition of success.
Right. It's a great way to walk through your day. I'll tell you, one of the biggest triumphs, and it only happened, I'm going to guess, maybe 3 years ago, is recognizing that the future is empty and meaningless. And it freaks people out when I say that. I love saying it. And you shouldn't get upset or freaked out. Let me explain. The future is empty because we all live right now. We spend so much time thinking about the past and thinking about the future, and we ignore it now. So you can fill the future with anything you want. And most of us will fill the future with repeats of our past because that's what's familiar. And the unknown is terribly scary. But if you can be brave enough, and I readily admit I am not always brave enough. I'm still working on it too. That's why I'm evolving. But if you can be brave enough and you can fill the future literally with anything, you can make your dreams come true. It's not easy and it's not quick, but it's possible. You can fill the future with the experiences that matter to you, and you can choose to give those experiences any meaning you want. You do not have to live according to someone else's meaning of your actions. You get to choose the meaning, you create your dream life, and you get to live it to its fullest.
Oh, that is so beautiful, really beautiful. And when you think of it that way, the value of every minute of today becomes so extraordinary because it's really shaping your tomorrow, which is, it's expansive. It's as big as you want it to be. I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we like instant gratification. You know, I wish I could tell you, oh yeah, it's easy. You can have your dreams come true tomorrow. It's not easy. You know, life is work. Get over it and get down to doing the work.
But, you know, if you're doing what you love, then for me, I love what I do. It doesn't feel like work. That's true. Sometimes I put in much longer days than I should because it's just not feeling like work to me because I just love what I do so much.
Right.
So, yeah, that is just wonderful. So for someone that is just thinking about becoming an entrepreneur or maybe having some struggles with their business, what are some of the tips that you would give them to maybe ease the path a little bit?
Well, one of the things, and this is also a little bit counterintuitive, I'm putting my marketing hat on a little bit now, but you have to learn to simplify and narrow down your focus, because the more you can do that, the easier it becomes to find your success. Many entrepreneurs are afraid to narrowly define who they can help, for example. I do a lot of networking. And I hear people repeatedly say things like, I help anybody who, or I work with everybody. And those are really big mistakes. You can't help everybody. You just can't. But you can help a narrowly focused segment of people whose lives will be vastly improved by what you can share with them. Now, don't get me wrong. If you help breast cancer patients and a lung cancer patient comes to you for help, you aren't going to turn them away. You'll help them too. You'll either find them an expert who works with lung cancer patients or by sharing the same tools that you share with your breast cancer patients. But you are going to focus on a narrow segment of people that you know you can best help, and then the rest will fall into place.
Oh, that's really, really powerful. So any other suggestions?
It's really hard to do. People get very nervous about focusing narrowly when it comes to building their business or who they want to help. But this is an analogy I use time and time again with people. You hit oil, you drill oil by drilling one 100-foot deep well, not 100 one-foot deep wells. And it takes more time to drill that 100-foot deep well, but in the end, you're going to be more successful for it. If that's part of your definition of success. I know I've talked about you can have your own definition of success, but that's how you're going to get there.
That's a great analogy. Really fantastic. So are there any other suggestions you would have? Because you're such an expert in this area. Just maybe some areas where people are not experiencing abundance and profitability and so forth, because I know you do consulting too on the technical side of things. What are some of the pitfalls you find people find themselves in that is hindering their success?
Well, one of the things is becoming overwhelmed with all the choices. I mean, come on, the interwebs. There's so much stuff going on the internet. There's so many social media platforms and blogging and video. And, you know, there's experts at everything and they're all telling you their things most important. And the overwhelm factor happens immediately. But in order to thrive, I think you just have to keep leaning forward. You need to know what your ideal life looks like down the road so that you can sort of stay on course. Jack Canfield has a great analogy where he said, you know, you can drive from one coast to the other with the headlights of your car, even though you can only see 100 feet in front of you. You can still get from one coast to the other in the dark because you have the opportunity to course correct as you keep going. It's not going to be a straight line, but you will get there as long as you have an idea of where you're heading. And if you just lean forward into it, your feet will follow you to keep up. So when you get overwhelmed, it all seems impossible. How can this possibly be? Just remind yourself of what your definition of success is, all the great things going on right now. Remember, the future is yours to create. So don't get overwhelmed by all the choices. Just keep leaning forward. And I like to live by a simple motto. Don't think, just do. Don't think, just do. Sometimes we think way too much and we procrastinate because we think ourselves into a box. What if this? What if that? Oh, I'm going to need more here. I'm going to need more there. I can't possibly afford this. Don't think, just do. Keep leaning forward, and you'll be amazed by the progress you can make in your business or your life as you continue to fill your future with what you want in your ideal life.
I love that. So how do you help people define what their ideal life is?
Well, they have to, and this sounds hokey, I'm really not much of a woo-woo person. Like I said, I'm an engineer. I'm very analytical. But it's really the truth. Trust me when I tell you, if an engineer can tell you this, then it's got to be true. I don't know. I just made that up. But,
I love it.
You know, when an analytical person is telling you, you really have to take the time to sit down and sort of envision, and you can write it down or you can clip out pictures or, you know, whatever floats your boat, whatever sort of makes sense to you. But you have to sort of envision, what does an ideal day look like for you? What would you like to be doing during that day, day in and day out? And crafting that life, you then pull that into what your business is going to be. And you start to craft your business around what your ideal life looks like. If you don't take that first step, and most of us don't, you're going to end up with a life that might not be perfect for you. You're going to do a lot of what other people tell you you need to do to be successful or to build your business, instead of keeping in mind what it is you wanted your ideal day to look like so that you can get there over time. And once you're very clear about what your ideal day looks like, it's very easy to say no to those shiny objects. Well, gee, that sounds like a great idea, but does it really fit with my overall plan of where I want to be? It becomes much easier to let things go. Remember, I talked about being narrowly focused. It helps you keep in that focus, and then you make the right decisions for your business and the growth of that business.
Yeah, that is so powerful, really powerful. So you're really designing your world and the way you want to live in it. And there's nothing more powerful than that. Absolutely.
And isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't everyone benefit from being able to, you know, live every day the way they want to?
Yes. And wouldn't all of those around you benefit too, because of the tremendous happiness and fulfillment you're feeling and the contribution you're making to the world?
Yeah, it's a ripple effect. I have a theory about this when it comes to the businesses that I help and the economy. I really believe that if enough of the business owners who are over 50 learn how to use the current tools of business, like social media and blogging and video and all the other cool stuff, I think it's cool, on the internet, to market and grow their businesses, then together we can generate enough prosperity at a local level in every community that will ripple outward and fix the economy community by community in the entire country and then ultimately in the entire world.
Oh, I love
that. Is that a big enough goal?
It is big, and it's so obvious that you're not a person who plays it small.
No. I can't live small. I just can't do it.
Yeah. And I think that that's wonderful that you're encouraging people to increase their vision. Some of the tools that you've given us today have been just brilliant on how you increase your vision, because you may not even realize you're playing it small when you are.
True. Yeah, true. You know, think about it. Human beings, we get comfortable in certain roles and with certain habits and certain activities. And here's an analogy I like to tell people. If you've ever moved, then you'll appreciate this. You pack up the boxes and you move from one apartment or one house to the next place. And there's always that one box that you never get around to unpacking. And you start to live around it as if it is meant to be there. You know, it ends up an end table, or you shove it in a closet. And then eventually, you know, it's 2 years later and you open it up saying, man, I never unpacked this last box. And the stuff that's in it no longer matters, or you didn't need it to begin with. We get very comfortable in our routines because that's easy. You know, that's the path of least resistance. To be an entrepreneur means that you cannot be comfortable in your routines. And that's not easy, but it's so worth it.
Yeah. Again, I love that analogy too. I remember one time I was selling a house and I packed up all the personal things that I thought I just couldn't part with. And I put them in a storage unit because they say depersonalize your house, it makes it more sellable.
Right.
Well, by the time the house sold a couple months later and went through escrow, I went back to the storage unit and I got rid of everything that was in it that I thought was so critical that I rented a storage unit, you know, right. And I looked at it and I thought, no, I don't need this. It's very interesting perspective. So I love that.
And you can literally feel lighter, right? You can feel the weight coming off your shoulders and you can breathe more deeply.
Yes, there's no question about that. And I have a theory about that too, where business is concerned. It's really important to continue to analyze as your business grows and you become successful, what's working, what's profitable, what makes you and your employees the happiest, because you can get, as an entrepreneur, I think, really bogged down with a lot of stuff that maybe isn't even producing for you and is making your life feel heavy as opposed to lighter.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So the same thing applies to business as well. Fabulous. So when you look at what you would like to see in the long term with all the work you're doing, what does that look like?
Well, for me, and I don't know if you've ever read Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist.
Yes.
But when I read that book, and the thing that I recall from that book, and I could be wrong, but this is the part that resonates for me, is that the underlying purpose or point of that book was that in your mind or in your gut, who you are and what you're supposed to be doing with your life is constantly calling to you, but you don't always listen. And it was after I read that book that I realized my entire life I'd been called to write, to be a writer. I always wrote, but I always made up excuses why that was not actually a career. That was not something that, you know, I was going to make money doing. That's not how I was going to support myself or help support my family. It was just something I did. And as I look forward into my future, and you mentioned I have a book coming up, my first book, and it's not that I haven't started other books, but this is the first book I finished, hallelujah, is The Boomer's Ultimate Guide to Social Media Marketing. And it's a real thing. It's going to come out in March of 2016. And I envision my future involving writing more books, sharing more of what I know. I love to speak to people. You mentioned I have a podcast. I like to interview people and, you know, learn more so that I have more that I can teach others. That's what my ideal life looks like moving forward, is continuing to write and speak and do those sorts of media so that I can share the expertise of so many other people with the rest of us so that we can all prop each other forward, so we can keep leaning forward so our feet have to keep up with us.
I love that. And I'm so glad that you got your book out there. We take about 2 books a week to bestseller, and we produce at least 5 or 6 books a year ourselves. And many of them are anthologies, much like the one that you're in, The Messages That Matter with Jill Lublin. But I think it's not just our right to be able to get our story out there. It's really our responsibility, because each person's story is entirely different. Only they can tell it the way they can tell it. And a good friend of mine once said that when you don't do that, you leave a hole in the world, because no one can fill that up. It has to be filled by you. So congratulations on completing the book, and hopefully it'll be the first of many for you.
Thank you. I have my fingers crossed, and that's the goal.
Fantastic. Well, it has just been delightful spending time with you, and you covered so much territory and shared so much great information. I know that our listeners are going to want to be able to tap into your wisdom even more. Can you tell us where they might be able to do that? Do you have a website where they can go?
Sure. They can always find me. I'm all over social media, so you can always look for me at almost any social media platform. But the website is theboomergal.com.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for being with us and for bringing your exuberance for entrepreneurship to us today, because it's something that I feel very passionate about as well. And it's just been wonderful spending time with you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And for those of you out there that would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our broadcasts and communities that are global all over the world, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a fabulous week.